Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning, we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who, unlike Joe Rex Road, did not bail on the NFL Combine. Charles, good morning. How are you?
When did this sucker leave? Like, I didn't know this until this morning. I didn't know that he had left. Rex Road, you lose. You lose, Rex Road.
You do. Oh, I lost by having to be there 5 minutes. You know what I like, Charles? I like sports.
Happened?
I like sports. I got college hoops that matters right now. This stupid crap up there. God, it's the worst. Man, don't get me going.
All right, let's get Marvin Harrison a little overrated, but anyway.
Whoa. Okay. All right, hold on.
I'm just kidding. I was like, come on.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I need a hot take from Charles.
I'll say this about Harrison. Two things to contextualize the argument. Last year during Ohio State's pro day, I was texting with a GM. They had three first-round picks, right, Ohio State last year, and Stroud, Paris Johnson, and Jackson Smith, and Jigba. And I'm texting the GM. I said, you know, how's it going out there, whatever? And he goes, I don't know. He's like, we're all sitting here watching a kid we're not even allowed to draft. And that's because Marvin Harrison was killing it. I'm like, there's three first-round picks. You're all watching Marvin Harrison Jr.? And he was like, yeah, he's by far the best player in the field. Like, it's ridiculous. And so there's that. But I will say this. I think had he come here and done the drills and run, and the reason why I think part of the reason why he's not doing it, and Neighbors isn't either, to be fair, there's definitely some teams that are like, look, you get those guys out there, Neighbors was probably going to run faster. He probably ran the drills a little bit faster, and then it would have started up this conversation about, you know, Harrison's a great player, all the tape, no doubt, like looks like an all-pro type player at the next level, but it would have crept into some people's mind about, like, man, I don't know. Neighbors ran the 4.3s.
Yeah, a dumb conversation.
More explosive. Yeah. I mean, but that's what the combine becomes, dumb conversations. That's why these guys,
enjoy,
you know, they don't want to – well, the athletes come here with the reps and the tape. They're like, well, the agents are like, don't do anything. You don't need to do any. Your top five pick, if you're top five pick, don't go out there and screw it up, because all that's going to do, don't do any of the cognitive stuff. All the agents are telling their guys, punt every S2, you're not doing it. Wunderlich, you're not doing it. And if you're top five pick, you don't need to throw, you don't need to run, you got the tape. If there's anything that they need to ask you, or for quarterbacks you need to work out, you do it on personals, and that's that. But I will say, wide receivers, those conversations, even though everyone will tell you, well, it's about the tape and it's this and that, when wide receivers show up and run in the 4.3s and they have good tape on top of it, and then they run a great shuttle or this or that and they look explosive, it changes the conversation pretty quickly. And I remember being here when DK Metcalf people were like, well, he's just stiff. I mean, look at how he ran I think it was like the 3-cone, or it was like, you know, they just started knocking him left and right. And then you're like, man, DK Metcalf might not be a first-round pick. And then he wasn't. And then he shows up in the NFL level, and you're like, yeah, that was probably a mistake. So,
By the way,
Jalin Hyatt, definitely not better than Marvin Harrison.
Yes, I think we can agree.
Stats, Charles, stats!
I think we can agree. So, Charles, right, on the quarterback front, obviously, you know, there's the Caleb Williams, Drake May part of this that we've been talking about for over a year at this point. But how do you view the way this quarterback class is shaping up here, and how many quarterbacks do you think will go in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, Adam, I'm kind of frustrated because now you you got some guys, analyst-wise, that are coming out and just ripping the crap out of Drake May. You got Dan Orlovsky and Jaden Daniels would be the number one overall pick now. You know, analyst-wise, you have people that are starting to pick apart the top three guys. So when I came in, I had lunch with a guy who for basically a year and a half has been telling me Drake May should be the number one pick in the draft, right? So I'm like, how do you feel about May now? I'm starting to hear guys sort of knock the pedigree of North Carolina quarterbacks. Question, is he really as accurate downfield? Does he understand how to throw velocity correctly in mid to intermediate to short area routes, all these different things? And he just shrugged and he's like, man, he's like, I don't get it. He's like, I don't. And I said, are you hearing this from other personnel guys? He's like, well, it's definitely more of a debate. And he's like, I will say that. And I said, is it possible May slips? And he goes, I don't see it. He was like, but there's definitely more debate about him than before. And this is from a team that is not in that band of like the top three picks. It's like they're a little further back. And they definitely are a team that could be in the quarterback market. I was like, do you think Drake May could get to you? And he was like, oh, maybe. We might sit pat and see if maybe he could slide. But then he was like, look, remember the C.J. Stroud stuff. He's like, we came here. See, even when C.J. threw well, he played great, obviously, in the playoff. Then he comes, he kills at the combine, did everything he needed to, and yet what happened? We all this talk about him slipping, and then he goes, you know, in the top three picks on draft day. So, you know, you come here, all these guys get nitpicked. You hear about guys potentially sliding other than Levis, which Levis, I think it was more defined. There was definitely sort of, you know, like how did people feel just talking to him? Did he feel like the right fit for locker rooms? That's not really what you're hearing about the players. It's more picking apart tape, body type, all this different stuff. I feel like you're going to have three quarterbacks who are still going to go, you know, in the top 3 to 4 to 5 picks. And then the bigger argument is really going to be, what does J.J. McCarthy do to improve his stock, being the quote unquote highest rated quarterback who's actually going to throw at this event. And he'll probably interview really well and all these different things. So I'll say this, the top couple of quarterbacks are meeting with 7-8 teams. The Giants are meeting with guys. Seahawks are meeting with guys. Saints are meeting with guys. When you talk about these teams that are the Jets are meeting with guys. You're talking about teams that are a little bit further back. And I don't think they're necessarily meeting them because they think these guys could slide. I think they're meeting with them because there's a chance that you could have one of these teams surprise everybody and move up, especially if the Bears decide to shop that number one pick, which I don't think they will. I think if there's a trade out, it might actually occur a little bit lower than we think. Maybe it ends up being like New England trading out.
Okay, so now that there's no like quarterback fantasy land for, you know, for the Titans or Titans fans to engage in, they know who their quarterback's gonna be next year. How about Chris Jones, Charles? Chris Jones, Tennessee Titan. Chris Jones, anyone else but a Kansas City Chief? How do you view that situation? With Snead tagged and Jones not tagged, but them still talking about, you know, trying to get a deal done with him.
Well, I do think that the Snead tag does not. I don't know that. I still think there's a tag and trade possibility there. I'll put it that way. I think that what they did when they tagged, you know, Legarius Snead was they basically just started a clock. The thing is, the Chiefs are one of the rare teams that when there was that big salary cap bump that was unexpected, that actually $13 million that got thrown onto cap for the next season, they were helped, but modestly. It wasn't like some of the upper, you know, the teams that already had a ton of money to work with who were helped tremendously. Like I'm looking at a team like, let's say Detroit, you know, Detroit all of a sudden $57, $58 million under the cap, and that's without moving things around. You know, there are some top tier teams now, contending teams that realistically could be in the hunt for Chris Jones, sign him, you know, to a deal where they're basically like, look, we're going to guarantee you 3 years of cash. It's going to be a boatload of money, you know, $90 million plus in guarantees, and you're going to come in, we're going to win a Super Bowl with you. I just think the clock started. Now, when I think there's a chance that Chris Jones definitely hits the market, but now the Chiefs are sitting there with basically 2 weeks to find out if another team's willing to come and get Legarius Snead, which to me is much more possible than, let's say, a tag and trade of like T. Higgins, because teams are going to weigh the price of a wide receiver, a top-end wide receiver, and the availability of other options on the table, which is pretty deep, versus a potentially, you know, game-wrecking defensive lineman who's still playing on that level, who's got championship experience, who still plays hard while he's out there, and a guy who can be a force multiplier if you sit him next to whoever. You know, if you want to roll him inside and put him next to an elite defensive end that you have at times, if you want to put him on the edge and sit him next to an elite defensive tackle, you're all of a sudden changing the financial outlook of multiple players on your roster, particularly if you have a young guy who's on, let's say, like a rookie deal. I don't know, Aiden Hutchinson maybe, who could use another stud basically playing alongside him. So, but, you know, scheme will matter too. But I do, yeah, I think there's a chance that Chris Jones is on the move. I would say the teams that are in play for him, I don't think he wants to go to a team that's not a contending team. I don't think this is just a paycheck move for him, because I think he knows he can make on the open market, he can get a top tier contract from a contending team. For him to go to a team that's not necessarily in a contending window the next 3 years, it would have to be exponentially more money than maybe some of the contending teams. Like, are you willing to pay Chris Jones $35 million a season, $36 million a season, $37 million a season maybe? I mean, that might be the kind of money he's asking for when it comes to, you know, playing for a team where he's like, all right, I'm just going there to make money and secure, you know, the future of my kids' kids at this point.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Continuing our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, the NFLPA report cards came out yesterday. Lots of interesting stuff on there. We've talked about how apparently players don't really like how the Titans have treated their families with the D-plus rating and the travel and all that. But Clark Hunt, the number 32 owner on the list with an F-minus on the NFLPA report card. What did you make of that off the report cards that came out?
Guys, Josh McDaniels got a D, okay? So, like, we're going to compare this. They were smoking cigars in the locker room when Josh McDaniels got fired, okay? Like, and Clark Hunt got an F-minus, and Josh McDaniels got a D. Now, there's contextualization here. There is, to be fair. I don't think the NFLPA is saying Clark Hunt's a terrible owner. I don't think it's, you know, and it was a very specific question. It was about investment facilities. Yep. You know, what's your confidence in an owner to invest in your facilities? They felt like they were told that they were going to have a new practice facility locker room, like totally renovated locker room after – winning the Super Bowl following the 2022 season. They show up for the 2023, during 2023, the off season, and they're like, well, what happened? Like, instead of stools, we have chairs. That's all that's changed. Like, what? And they were clearly upset about it. And, you know, what was interesting is it's not like they killed Hunt on that, basically felt like some promises weren't kept, right? And then the Chiefs got a bunch of Fs. I mean, I think the only grade higher than a C-plus was Andy Reid got an A-plus. And then it was just they tanked all these other grades. They went from 29th overall in aggregate rating in 2022 to 31st in 2023. It's remarkable to me that you have basically a team saying, we're out here producing, we're putting this out on the field, we're winning games, we're doing all this stuff, and you're just not, this isn't a great place to work. Like, yeah, we can win, we can go out, we got Andy Reid, we got Patrick Mahomes, but there's all kinds of stuff that's going on inside the organization that, to the players, honestly, if we're being real here, it kind of screams, you're being cheap. You're cheap about stuff here. And they're pissed about it. And I this survey is a tool. I'm telling you, this is one of the most remarkable tools I've seen developed by the NFLPA in all the 20-plus years that I've covered the league, because the same day this comes out, Clark Hunt's cornered in Kansas City being asked questions about it. Like, you got an F-minus. Did you say you were going to build these guys a locker room? Like, and I'm like, when can we remember in NFL history where owners had to almost, like, instantaneously answer for something that players – had used an anonymous tool to actually say, hey, this is what it's really like inside the organization. The way this used to work, and Joe can attest to this, like, it would take, you know, just kind of years of players complaining to understand that, you know what, the Bengals are the cheap team, the Cardinals are the cheap team, the Chargers are the cheap team. But it was, you know, players changing teams, they start to tell you about how they're getting nickel and dimed, and it's, you know, and you're always like, okay, is this one guy's thing, two guys' thing? Is it really that bad? This is pretty legitimate, the way that this thing works. And I'll tell you what, they say it's not a shaming tool. The PA keeps saying, we're not trying to shame guys. Okay, that doesn't mean you're not shaming them. like they are definitely, if you watch the video of Hunt answering these questions on Wednesday, it does not look comfortable. And you saw some teams change after 2022. You saw them adjust some of the things, like Arizona. They crawled up a little bit in the rankings because they stopped charging guys for dinner. They started to change some of the things that they did. I think the top, arguably the top five potential picks in the draft coming to either saying we're not coming to the combine at all, or we're not going to do anything at the combine at all, saying to the NFL, hey, it's your tentpole event and we're the stars that people want to see do things on your television network, but yeah, screw you, we're not going to do it. And oh, by the way, your cognitive tests, flipping it the bird, we're not doing any more cognitive testing because you just leak it and make us look bad. It feels more and more like NFL players have recognized, like, hey, you know what? We can use things at our disposal to push back, to press, to say no, to flex a little bit. Which is, to me, a big deal, because for so long we've always felt like, well, NFL players get steamrolled more than anybody else because of the non-guaranteed contracts and all these different things. It feels like there's some change that's been happening in the last couple of years.
Which I like. Now, this idea of getting reporters out of the locker room can absolutely be launched into the sun, to quote Robbie. But, I mean, that real fast, that, I mean, there's no chance, right? Tell me there's no chance.
Of what?
Of reporters being out of the locker room.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's a fight right now. That's a real fight. Like, that's... I was upset that, you know, we weren't, after the Super Bowl, you're usually allowed to get on the field, you know, just get color, kind of be out there, see, you know, see if there's anything else you might be able to grab to put into a story. This year, they barred us all, you know, except for some TV people. We had a badge in. There was pretty much everybody was locked off the field. So I went to somebody in the PA and I was like, you know, I complaining like, hey, what's going on? Can't get on the field anymore. What's going on with this? And the conversation quickly rolled into like, well, the bigger priority for you guys, for reporters, is still getting into locker rooms. I was like, whoa, this is like, really? Like, we're really? And JC Treader, the president, has said to me a couple of times, he thinks that needs to change. He's like, look, it's archaic. There are guys walking around naked in there. Like, you know, there don't need to be people in there. I, you know, that's a fight right now. And I think it's a real fight. And I will say this, NFL reporters have less locker room access than any of the other major sports. They're, I mean, NBA, you get in before games, you get in after games. You get in, you know, you get in earlier in the day. Baseball clubhouses, you get in before the game, you get in after the game. You know, NFL, some teams don't even live up to the 3 days of open locker room. And even if they do, there's nobody in the locker room when you get in there. So, and I do think it's hurting teams, by the way, because there are a lot of players that you don't get to know necessarily as beat writers when you don't get consistent locker room access. And, you know, I think that's not great for anyone beyond the top 10, 12 guys on a team that are on podiums or that talk to the media a lot.
Good Lord. All right. I didn't even, that's absolutely absurd.
Yeah, it's not good. It's upsetting.
I need you to make this go away, Charles. We are all counting on you.
By the way, real quick, guys, side with the league, because the league doesn't want that to happen.
Oh, no. The NFL, to me, has been very – they get it. Like, it's like, yes, yeah. Access actually is good for everyone. Yeah. So, on these grades, how big of a deal, what's the cheapness level on – I mean, with the Titans were fine overall, but – The roommates on the road, I mean, I guess there's what, seven teams? To me, that's like, yeah. I feel like at this point that should change. But also, I was surprised, honestly, to hear about like the players in the back of the plane thing. I mean, yeah. I guess I didn't even, like, when I think of charter planes, I don't think of a first class.
Yeah.
But I don't know. How does that strike you?
When you travel, how many roommates do you have when you go to do your work?
Well, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, I mean, back in the day at the LSJ, I used to have to like sit there, Kimberly and Ahern, and packed into some microtel. But you know, it was the '90s.
No, I mean, Yeah, I mean, it's the roommates on the road thing before games, considering the what the revenues are at now, what the valuations are at, the amount of money that's coming in, the fact that and actually $13 million gets lopped onto your salary cap in 2024 because of the fact that your revenues are blowing out right now. You know, roommates on the road, it's kind of nickel and diming it. The plane thing is interesting because I will say this for the Titans, they obviously got hit on that, and travel, team travel is a big complaint for a lot of teams, and treatment of families. Those are like the two things where you do kind of consistently see very few teams are scoring super high in that. But what's interesting is from what I know, from the people I've talked to, you know, the Titans typically charter like a 767. That is, you know, it's divided up like a normal 767. There's like a first class, there's some business class seats that have, you know, some roominess, but you do eventually get to the point where there's seats that aren't great, you know, and even if it's not packed in like a full flight normally is, it's still tough, particularly if you're a big guy. I'm a big guy. I hate sitting in anything that's not, you know, at the very least, like the business class seats where I can get some knee room. But the perception is that first class, according to the NFLPA, amongst the players that were spoken to with the Titans, is that it's staff all sitting in that first class. And it doesn't surprise me that that would rub guys the wrong way, because I don't know, how do you feel when you walk through first? I'm always like, why are you in first class? Like, you should be in first class. Who are these people in first class? I need to be in first class. You're not even, you know, you're not traveling for work right now. What is, get out of the seat, you know? I'm sure players feel the same way. So it's, I wouldn't say it's a, I thought overall the Titans report card was fine. You know, it wasn't like a super red alarm situation, but yeah, that's a little bit of a tweak. Maybe mix that up a little bit and get some of these guys who could use the leg room.
Hey, Jeff Simmons, middle spot. Seat in the back. You're fine. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. I don't think, I will say this. I'm curious, you know, it's because it is a wide band of players who respond to this. So I'm not sitting here going, yeah, like, you know, I'm sure Simmons is like jammed in the way. I'm like, I don't know if that's really happening, but you know, you probably do have, and by the way, I don't want to marginalize guys who aren't necessarily starters or stars or whatever. Everybody wants to do their job and, you know, feel good when they travel and all this stuff. So it's something that obviously I think the Titans could tweak a little bit to try and figure out maybe a better system, but it's certainly not the Chiefs or the Commanders type of a report card where you're like, geez, like, there's, oh my God, there's a lot to. I did laugh though when I looked at Mike Vrabel's rating. The grade was a B+. Like, again, to contextualize this, like, I think he was somewhere in the 20s in terms of head coach rating. A lot of coaches are rated pretty high. I just thought it was interesting that the PA said that players thought he was somewhat willing to listen to the locker room. Oh, yeah.
That kind of.
Yeah.
Charles, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us. We apologize on Rex Rhodes' behalf for abandoning you in Indianapolis, and we'll talk to you next week.
All I know is that a big piece of my expense report just opened up for someone else to get taken to dinner. You missed out, Rex Rhodes.
I did blow that, didn't I?
You did. You
did. You did. You lose, Rex Rhodes. You lose.
You lose.
I know.
Thank you, Charles.
See you, buddy.
Later, guys.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Coming up next, take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Also, a confusing part of this week for the Tennessee Titans as well, which we'll get to next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.